Welcome back to the Allegheny Front. I'm Reed Frazier. It's been called a ghost story, and it's about the death of coal as a dominating industry in Appalachia. Filmmaker and director Elaine McMillian Sheldon's latest film called King Coal debuted at the Sundance Film Festival this year and has been screening in select theaters throughout the country. Critics have called it personal, poetic, and spiritual.
In the beginning, this place was wild. Sometimes I wonder if our king's ghost is trapped here.
I guess you can't take my memories from me.
90.5 WESA's Glynis Board met up with Sheldon at a sold-out screening at the Harris Theater in downtown Pittsburgh. Here's some of their conversation.
Online, it's described as a lyrical tapestry of place and people. King Coal meditates on the complex history and future of the coal industry, the communities that it's shaped, and the myths it has created. So tell me, does this film have an agenda?
An agenda to bring dignity. I think that's I'm always on a path to complicate things a little bit. I'm not interested in oversimplifying whatever solutions we have about our beyond coal future. I think it's going to be a very complex journey that we're going to be on. And so I didn't want this film to be the film that's providing the solutions, but instead is actually providing the step that comes before the solutions, which is the conversation and the mourning, the grieving of the past.
Yeah, you've talked about that. You've talked about grieving and how important grieving is. You said grief is necessary for positive change. Can you speak a little bit more on that?
I think this film was me grieving in some ways, because grieving with my own family, with my community, allowing a space to accept change. Change is inevitable, but we resist it, and our resistance of it denies our ability to process it. And I think grieving is seen as something that is often seen as something that feels associated with negative feelings. But there's a real release in the grief, and saying and looking back on the generations, thank you for what you've done. Now it's time for us, whatever that is. And there's a liberation in the grieving that I think this next generation really needs to do in a respectful way. Because that's really the tension, I think, that people feel left behind and unseen in a transition movement without being recognized for sacrificing their own health or the environment, all these things that have been given up. And so to me, my papa's in the film. He's a grave digger in real life, so he mined coal for his life, and now he digs graves and has spared everyone from his mom to his wives and everyone in my family. And so I've grown up around grieving and mourning as a service, a community service. And so I think it's not seeing grieving as the end, but as the beginning is the point of the film.
You're from one of the pockets of the world and the country and the region that produces metallurgical coal, which is used to make steel. And here we are in Pittsburgh. It's fueled this whole region. And you did take some time to film here in southwestern Pennsylvania and in Pittsburgh. Can you tell us what brought you here and about that?
Yeah, we filmed, when we started filming, the first things we filmed were coal-related cultural scenes. So my co-producer Molly Bourne and I were going around schools filming presentations that people were doing about coal education fairs, the Miss Bituminous Coal Queen pageant, which is in Carmichael's, PA. And then at a certain point, the film started morphing away from just being observations to where we cast two local dancers from West Virginia. They would be the vehicle in which we would learn coal history through. They were 11 years old when we cast them, and we felt that it was important to see it through our kids' eyes. So it was one of those things. We took them on a field trip to the Carnegie Museum of Natural History and their Benedum Hall of Geology, because there's a massive coal exhibit there. And we filmed in the Laurel Highlands, a trout fishing scene. So, yeah, Pennsylvania played a role in that. And my brother still works for a coal company in McDowell County that they mine metallurgical coal. So this is something that I obviously think a lot about, but I'm not sure everybody does. And so I was really excited to see this screening sell out, because it tells me that people here in Pittsburgh are still connected, in a sense, to this identity and pride, and that even though there's been progress and innovation, which I fully embrace, we haven't left behind the history completely, which I think is really important in any reinvention of the past.
But this film is a bit of a transition for you. What changed? You typically shoot verite filmmaking styles, which is capturing scenes as you find them. But this film has constructed scenes. You narrate as a miner's daughter. There's incorporated choreography. One critic says it transcends documentation and evolves into cinematic art. So what shifted to create this different style?
None of that was intentional. I didn't set out to make an arty film, for lack of a better word. I think I realized the limits of observation when it came to telling this story, because this story was something we could observe, sort of. We could observe rituals, we could observe myths and how they play out, but the actual underpinnings of the way they're felt was not something you can see. And so this film required sort of a personal excavation of my own memories and staging these things that felt like they were getting to the things felt, not just seen. And so it was a question of what cinematic tools do we have available to us to be creative, to tell these stories that are going untold because they're felt, not seen. Part of it was trying to defy a bit of expectations about the region. So our score is completely percussion. There's no old-time music, which is what you would think coming into a film about Appalachia. And that was a very conscious decision. We worked with people that do breath art. His name's Shodake. So with his human body, he makes a sound of thunder and crickets. And so we just tried to pull as many creative minds into the film and make it as collaborative as possible, because the film itself is breaking the documentary tradition and my rules of making documentary. So it's trying to do something that I've never previously tried to do before. So it required us to break our own rules.
And I guess, would you venture a speculation about what comes next in Appalachia for this community that's transitioning and is still nevertheless being left behind?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what comes next in terms of what are our solutions. I feel really strongly that we personally have to build ourselves back up. And while it's not fair, when you look back on the history, it's truly not a place we should be in, given how much money has been made here to enrich this world. It also now is kind of up to us. Nobody's going to save us. We know that. It's both paralyzing and empowering, I think. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but I'm hopeful that the land will play a role in it. People's relationships and communities will play a role in it. And I hope that despair just hasn't taken over to the point where telling new stories is impossible. I don't think it is. I think we still can dream.
That was Elaine McMillian Sheldon, director and producer of the new film King Cole, speaking with 90.5 WESA's Glynis Board. Sheldon's film debuted this year at the Sundance Film Festival and is currently screening in select theaters. Find a link to all of the screenings at alleghenyfront.org.